Blog Talk Radio.
She knows she can get it.
Welcome to the war room. We got Dez, Stop, Kim, Jimmy, PJ, B. Austin, the Hot Block Commander.
How you wanna end a 1 or 2 hour show to get the brain running with the premise of talk sports on a national level? Roll with the topic, sort of like Terrell when it's game time. They like the Fab Five during prime time. Sports conglomerates speak their minds a little bit. For sports medicine and sports veterans and greats, the 4 for 26 or the war in Kuwait. It's the war room with five knights at the round table, five Philly guys diversified and educated.
All right, everybody, it's Thursday, February 26, 2012, and the roundtable is about to be popping. You are once again live in the War Room, brought to you by War Room Sports. I'm Devin McMillan, and alongside me at the roundtable this evening are three of my four distinguished co-hosts, Akil Bayon, Jimmy Williams, and B. Austin. Tonight, we'll wrap all about NBA All-Star Weekend, which is underway right now in Orlando, Florida. We'll also get you caught up on the NBA season at its midway point by handing out our midseason awards and playing a round of HOF or FOH. Just like every week, we want to hear from you guys, so hop into that JW Philly Realty chat room at blogtalkradio.com/thewarroom or join us on Facebook or Twitter at War Room Sports. You can also call into the show and talk to us directly on the Digital Extreme Tech hotline at 323-410-0012. So before we get into tonight's program, we want to give a shout-out to our radio partners. You can check out Roy and Chris on the Broad Street Line every Tuesday at 6 p.m. Eastern Time right here on Blog Talk Radio. Follow them on Twitter at the BS Line. Jimmy and I, we're going to be making a guest appearance on the Broad Street Line this coming Tuesday to talk some Sixers and just to talk a little NBA in general at the midseason point. So you definitely don't want to miss that because when we get together, it tends to get crazy. So, we'll be giving that info out every day leading up to the show, so just make sure you tune in this coming Tuesday at 6 p.m. We also want to give a shout-out to Brandon and Chris of Sports Trap Radio. Check them out every Saturday from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. Eastern Time on ueradiolive.com. Also, check out the homie Ezra of Idiot Sports Talk by subscribing to the Idiot Sports Talk Facebook page and the YouTube channel. His videos are crazy. And last but not least, listen to our Chicago brethren from Ranked Top 5 Sports Talk Monday, Wednesdays, and Fridays at 10 a.m. Central Time. That's Central Time, not Eastern, right here on Blog Talk Radio. Now, with all the shouts out the way, it's time for that birthday segment.
My birthday! Yay!
What up, fellas? Y'all ready to do this tonight?
Yes, sir.
You
yes,
already
sir.
Know that we are. And if your show didn't get mentioned, it might not be hot.
All right, now, first birthday is an old Eagle favorite, one Mr. Byron Nelson Evans. Byron Evans turns 48 today.
Yay!
I'm going to go to B. Austin with this one. What do you think of when you think of Byron Evans?
High shorts, a weak fade, and never making an all-star team.
Yo, Byron Evans was that dude, though. I mean, that defense, man, when you think about that defense, it just makes you nostalgic as an Eagles fan. You know, he's the middle linebacker on the best defense in franchise history. And he was a beast. You know, I can't really remember, you know, how he was in pass coverage because just thinking about his body type, he doesn't seem like he would be fast enough to do anything in pass coverage. But, you know,
I owe Byron Evans an apology. I thought you said Scott as opposed to Evans. So I apologize.
All star and not Pro Bowl.
And not Pro Bowl, exactly.
I don't know what you're talking about, but you know.
Yeah, Jimmy, yo, Byron Evans, you my homie. I grew up on you. Shout outs to you. Happy birthday.
Yo, it's funny because I really don't know just how good he was considering that he played behind Reggie and Jerome and he played alongside Seth. It's like he has so much talent around him, it's hard to judge him because Reggie White is probably one of the top three defensive players I've ever seen play. So when you have a guy like that on your team, and I know you hate this cliche, but he makes everybody better. And he's like, you know, he's playing right behind Reggie, so he's going to, like, have good seasons. But he was a solid player. His fade was also weak. Even if you were referring to Byron Scott, Byron Evans also had a weak fade. So that still applies.
Kill Byron Evans.
Yo, a few things come to mind with Byron Evans. I remember that goal line stop when that Phoenix Cardinals, Arizona Cardinals, had like 8 downs because of a penalty, like inside the 2-yard line, and on like 3rd down or 4th down, Byron Evans, stuffed the running back and took his helmet off and was screaming, and the fans were hype. That's one thing. Then the other thing is, when I think of Byron Evans, I think about Bill Duke from Menace to Society when he's telling James, like, you know you done effed up now, right? You know you done effed up. That like they could be like cousins or brothers.
You do look like Bill Duke. What's wrong with that? I never thought about that before. What's wrong with his doppelganger? All right, so next birthday is one Mr. Roberto Martin Antonio Bonilla, better known as Bobby Bonilla. He turns 49 today. Jimmy, what do you think of when you think of Bobby Bonilla?
When I think of Bonilla, I think of the Killer Bee when him and Barry Bonds were like dominating the NL, and I mean that was pre Barry Bonds, you know, becoming the Incredible Hulk, and they still were like dominating the NL. They had like, you know, they were like a dominant team, and I can't remember anybody else off that Pirates team because the Pirates historically stink, but. That team with the Killer Bees, and they both broke up because they didn't, you know, getting paid, and Bobby Bowe went to play for the Mets, I believe. So, he's synonymous with Barry Bonds to me.
Yeah, same here. I mean, when you think of that, you just think of that Pirates team, and, man, what they probably could have been had they stayed together. He made some kind of contract with the Mets where he's still getting paid right now, like $2 million a season. I don't know what the regulations were behind that, but we need to look that up and put that on our Facebook page and teach some of these other athletes and regular Joes how to make good money deals and not go broke when you retire. Kill, what do you think of? You think of Bobby Bonilla?
Yeah, those Pirate days where him and Barry Bonds were knocking homers left and right. And if I'm not mistaken, did Bobby Bonilla's father play?
I think Bobby Bonilla was a legacy dude.
Yeah, that's quite interesting. And he's a 6-time All-Star, 3-time Silver Slugger. I remember that year he played with the Marlins for like 1 year, and they won the title. And then the Marlins dumped salary. So what's crazy about his career, he went after his years with the Pirates, we were there for like 6 years, went to the Mets for 3 years, Orioles for 2 years, Marlins 2 years, Dodgers 1 year, Mets 1 year, Braves 1 year, Cardinals 1 year. So homie just kept getting passed around.
He said he was getting passed around.
Yeah, some young ladies I know from the college days. But he actually won a chip with the Marlins too.
Yeah, he was a tremendous talent, but they say that his attitude was legendary. Like, he had a bad attitude. Times 10. But I remember him winning a chip, and based on the information that my good brother Devin just informed me, he's now one of my top 5 favorite baseball players ever for the contract he negotiated, because that's what he's supposed to do, get money.
Yo, B. Austin, check this out. The actual stats on that, the Mets agreed to pay out the remainder of Bonilla's contract by deferring $6 million he was due. This was in 2000, and it said the Mets will pay him 25 equal payments of $1.1 million every July 1st from 2011 to 2035, assuming an annual interest rate of 8%, the period 2011 to 2035.
Yo, thank you for that, Akil. And with that information, he moved up my list to number 3, and y'all can hold me to that. He's my 3rd favorite baseball player ever.
Yo, he turned $6 million into $25 million.
Yo, that's called flipping. Yo, he was dealing with that Spanish white.
Interest is a lovely thing, man. Interest is a lovely thing.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, I like to see that in a world where, you know, you see a bunch of fans taking up for other dudes who really don't know what they're doing money-wise. It's refreshing to see somebody actually do something smart. You know, and get off on management. But my next birthday is one Mr. Ed Lee, better known as Too Tall Jones.
My
he turned 61 today. Kill, what do you think when you think of Ed Too Tall Jones?
Well, as a Cowboys fan, I think of a lot of highlights that I didn't see with him being, you know, great defensive lineman for the Cowboys, number 72. And, yeah, that's about it, man. He's in the Hall of Fame, and shout out to him.
Jimmy, Ed Too Tall Jones.
Yeah, I was, you were talking about this a little while ago. When you look at Ed Too Tall Jones and his career, like, dude had a scholarship to play baseball, basketball, of course, football. He was one of the top Golden Gloves boxers. He got drafted in multiple sports. I'm like, yo, where do they even make athletes like that anymore? He was just a tremendous athlete all around. Like, he was knocking cats out in the Golden Gloves, and then will beat you on the track field while giving you 30 on the hoops. Now, that's crazy.
Where B. Austin, and Too Tall.
Well, my first impulse is he's a Cowboy, so I hate him and I don't respect him. But then I really think about what he accomplished, and I'm wrong for that. So, man, dude was a tremendous athlete. He did his thing, I guess. Back in those days, when you were a great athlete, if you ever looked at the rounds of the drafts, like football, basketball, baseball, you'll notice a lot of our favorite athletes were drafted in multiple sports in very, very low rounds. Like Carl Lewis was drafted in the NFL and just never played.
Speed kills, but, you know, me, since y'all didn't said it all about Ed Too Tall Jones, so all I remember about him was that dude was just he was just too tall.
Hey, yo, Jeff, I got to make a correction. I had to correct myself. He did not make it into the Hall of Fame. My bad.
Oh, he probably was too tall for the Hall of Fame. Last birthday was one Mr. Fred Biletnikoff, who turned 69 today.
Yay!
Austin, what do you think of when you think of Fred Biletnikoff?
I think that his name is synonymous with hot receptions. Biletnikoff sounds like you're catching a ball. I just Biletnikoffed on that dude. And he used to be known for a lot of nasty stick'em on his hands.
That's what I was about to say. When I think of Biletnikoff, I think of stick'em.
Stick'em on them hands.
Yeah, but, I mean, he definitely was nice for his time. The wide receiver of the year award in college football is named after him. I don't know how much weight that holds with how nice he used to be, but I really wasn't around for his era. So I'm just going off a few highlights, a few stats, and some rumors. Jimmy, what do you think of when you think of Fred Biletnikoff?
Stick him! Ha ha ha! Stick him! No, but seriously, I think about when you watch the NFL films, and he used to just, like, tip the ball to itself. Like, the pass would be short, and he would, like, straight tip it 2 yards in front of him, you know, to make the catch. I remember a lot of tip passes and, you know, a lot of great – but I guess when you have stick'em, you can just tip the ball to yourself. So, you know, but that's all I remember about Fred Biletnikoff is highlights that I've seen watching NFL films.
Bayon, Biletnikoff.
Well, speaking of the Hall of Fame, when I think of Biletnikoff, it refers me to Chris Carter, because even though they played in different eras, Biletnikoff is in, and there's certain, like, football rating systems that rate at a Hall of Fame probability, and Carter is rated ahead of Biletnikoff in all those ratings, although Biletnikoff was definitely great in his own right. And I think what gave Biletnikoff, got him in, was winning a Super Bowl. Versus Chris Carter, not. And Biletnikoff is from Erie, Pennsylvania, which has nothing to do with Philadelphia, but, you know, he is from PA. Shout out to him.
That is a great from PA, actually, especially the quarterbacks. And Jimmy said that Chris Carter is a fraud, so stop bringing him up. So that was the birthdays for the day. As usual, birthdays were brought to you by Days of Beauty Hair Salon at 9221 Oxon Hill Road in Fort Washington, Maryland. Go get your wig split. All right, Jim, you got it.
Yes, sir. It's time to tell everybody what happened while they were on the grind today and this past week. While You Were on the Grind is brought to you by Philly Auto Design. For more information, visit phillyautodesign.com or go to warroomsports.com, and you can click on the tab right on the homepage. Now, there's a couple stories I want to go over. The first one being Albert Pujols, who objects to the El Hombre billboards the Angels have put up all over Southern California. I mean, they're very excited to have him, but he objects to that. So, Dad, what is your thoughts on this story here?
Yo, this story was kind of funny when I heard it. They put up 70 billboards, like, marketing the team. 20 of them are of his likeness with the words El Hombre on it. Now, he objected to it. They didn't go to him, or he didn't go to them beforehand. But this came up one time in St. Louis because they wanted to call him El Hombre, but he said he had too much respect for former St. Louis great Stan the Man Usual, you know, so he didn't want to, like, bite his nickname. Now, y'all know how I feel about nickname jacking, so I really respect, you know, his stance in this situation. I'm not going to go like all the other analysts and talk about how classy he is. You know, sometimes you just don't want to bite. Not biting doesn't necessarily mean classy. It just means you're not a biter. So
how
you know,
how do you feel about all them other radio shows and blogs that be biting what we do?
They not classy. But no, but seriously, on this though, there's another side to it though. You know what I'm saying? They spent a lot of money on this campaign, and they claim, you know, this isn't the whole campaign. This is just a part of it. And sometimes, you know, like people like Albert have to realize when somebody pays you $250 million, you're basically their $250 million slave. So sometimes you just got to fall back and just let it happen.
But I respect this thing. $250 million, they could put porch monkey billboards up. Like, no, I'm joking. I'm joking. But I think y'all get the point. Be awesome. What do you have to say about this story?
El Porch Monkey. El Mongo.
Yo, his nickname I thought was The Machine.
Yeah, I mean, I guess they wanted to get away from his St. Louis roots and do something for Anaheim, but I don't know.
But he's been biting off of me because in college there was a couple... Young Lick? Never mind.
Okay, let's move on. Doc Bay, what do you think about this story?
I don't know, man. I mean, really nothing. I mean, it's marketed. He's Hispanic. You know, El Hombre is the man in Spanish. I mean, you know, I guess by him speaking out, I guess it gives him more respect. But I don't see they're gonna take the billboards out. They're trying to make money, man. So there you go.
I mean, I feel the same way. I think you can speak out and say that, but, you know, don't expect them to take anything down. You don't have to accept the nickname. It's just a marketing campaign. If the name doesn't stick, the name doesn't stick.
No doubt. Okay, let's get into the drug portion of
Rock
and Roll on the Grind. We call this the free Big Meech portion. Manny Ramirez is back, and he only has to serve 50 games of his 100-game drug suspension. Start with you, Dan. What do you think about Manny being Manny and being back?
Yo, this story was crazy to me when I heard it. For those who don't know the story, Manny Ramirez got popped for a second time using performance-enhancing drugs last year. He tested positive. The second time is a 100-game suspension. In lieu of serving out the suspension, he decided he wanted to retire. So now that the new season is starting up, he wants to come back, and baseball is actually going to let him skip 50 games of the suspension, saying that he sat out last year. To me, that doesn't really seem fair. You retired because you didn't want to do it. I think anytime you come back to baseball, I think before you get on the field, you have to serve that 100 games. So I don't understand what they're doing right here. I think they dropped the ball on that, and after we get everybody else's opinion, I tell you somewhere else where they might have dropped the ball. Same.
Shout out to Manny for working the system, though. No. Doc Bay, we get to say about the story. Okay.
That's
what we do. B. Austin, what do you have to say about the story?
Oh, man. Manny being Manny. AI can't get a run.
In the MLB, yeah, might get a run. I mean, soccer gigs.
Yo, my bad. I just went blank. Sorry about that. But with Manny Ramirez, I mean, he sat out, so I guess there's really nothing wrong with it because he missed the whole season. But my thing is, he's going to come back to baseball. I really don't think he'll be effective because if he got popped the second time, then maybe he needs those drugs to be Manny. But now that he keeps getting caught, then, you know, maybe he won't be Manny. He might be like, you know, Jason Worth with the Nationals or something.
I don't think Manny cares at this point about being effective. He probably just cares about getting that check, and they still going to keep paying him a check. Shout out to the Oakland A's.
Let's keep with the same theme. The reigning NL MVP, Ryan Braun, he's won his appeal, and now he will not have to serve a 50-game suspension for testing positive for for synthetic testosterone during last season's playoff run. You know, so let's stay with the drug theme here. Free Big Meech. Dev, what you got to say about this one?
Yo, I don't understand how it happened. They didn't really give the details of why he won the appeal. But, I mean, he maintained his innocence the whole time. But you know there's going to be a big outcry about this, and I guarantee you it's going to turn racial. I guarantee you that. But the somebody from MLB, like the vice president of public relations or something, he was kind of incensed at the whole thing, and he doesn't like that the situation was appealed. I think he believes that they're setting a precedence that's not really going to be good for baseball. And I probably would have to agree with that. I mean, look at that. You got two stories where people are basically out of their punishment or getting out of half of their punishment.
Yeah, they've set two precedents in one week. I when I look at this, I just think, I mean, where are we going as a society and a culture? I mean, we're letting our athletes get out of accountability. I mean, if you can sing real good, people forget that you free bass. I mean, what, yo, I don't know what time.
Yo. Yo. So you say forget the bigger issues. Yo, you're right. I mean, and let's stick with this theme. Let's go to another story. Let's talk about Hines.
Whoa, yo. Hey, I got something real quick on that, on the Ryan Braun. I think back when it happened, I think I was saying maybe he was going through something mental or maybe it was some type of depression thing, so he was prescribed something like DHEA, which helps with depression and can have testosterone-mimicking factors. So I think that's something that maybe psychologically he didn't want to let out, because I remember even O.J. Mayo got popped for taking DHEA, and so did Diana Taurasi. So I think that was his case, and that's probably why they let him off. So,
but that brings up a whole other issue with how mental illness is looked at in our society. It's like it's a bad thing. These people have problems and have went to get help, but it's looked at as a bad thing, so therefore they don't want them to get help. That's a whole other issue. But keeping with our Whitney Houston theme, Hines Ward in July had a DUI drop. You know, his DUI he had was dropped, and he pled guilty to reckless driving. You know, his relationship with the Steelers is up in the air. So what do you guys have to say about Hines Ward and his Dewey?
Must be real nice to be a star athlete. He failed sobriety tests at the scene. So, you know, later on his DUI gets dropped and he pleads to a reckless driving. Like, yo, I'm just wondering if this kind of stuff would happen if I get pulled over. That's all I'm wondering.
Yeah, how come you never hear, like, regular, like, you know, you'll hear about principals and teachers or whoever getting DUIs, and they can never plead down to, like, something else. You know what I'm saying? They always, like, get fired and, you know, get the DUI charge, pay their 20K. And,
look,
you know, like,
man, money talks. BS runs a marathon.
Yo.
You know,
man, you can smile. If you smile real nice, man, I don't know. You smile real nice, yes.
No, I'm just saying, I mean, it seems like a common theme with all these stories. You got athletes on, you know, PEDs, people drinking, and you know, all kinds of craziness going on.
Yo,
no one has served any time. No one has really had, people didn't have to sit out for suspensions no more.
I'm going to tell you the kicker in all of this. And it's a little known, it's something that we all know, and people know about it, but it kind of gets glossed over or passed over. Yo, your man Stallworth ran a Hispanic laborer over and only did 1 year in jail, and it's cool. Like, he killed somebody, did a year, and now he's back catching footballs for millions.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't even, like, that story got way less press than Michael Vick killing some dogs or some animals. Not to say that that's okay, but
so
dude ran over.
Society, so you trying to say society cares more about dogs than laborers?
They care more about dogs They care more about dogs than illegals. And if you can sing real, real, real good, you could do it. You could freebase.
Listen, though, we got a call on the line that wants to talk about this topic we're speaking about. So let's bring him on real quick. We got Joel Rodriguez calling from the Bronx.
Linsanity.
Good evening. How's everybody doing?
What's good?
How are you?
Good, good. Thanks, man. I just heard a little more about the Braun thing. Apparently, he got away on a bit of a technicality, almost like they didn't read him his rights or like tampering with the evidence. From what I heard, he didn't fight the science. Like I think he understood.
Okay.
He tested positive, but the way they handled it, he tried to get around it. Almost as if, like, if I'm going to jail and I kill somebody, but they kind of fucked with. Oh, I'm sorry if you can't curse, but they kind of tampered with the evidence.
Yo, Joe, you at home?
Yeah, but you know what, though? I mean, that's what happens when you got good attorneys and good people working for you, man. That paperwork makes the paperwork. You know what I mean?
Man, the paper works and makes the paper work.
That's right. So, you know, he found the technicality.
So basically, Joel, some little lady went in and took her gloves off while handling the urine sample, and it was contaminated, so he had a technical get-off.
Something like that, yeah.
Hey, man, look, the gloves don't fit.
But the arbitrator didn't explain why he Braun got off. This was just off Tim Kirkson on ESPN. Well, I find, you know, legit, I guess. But that's what he got from a source, that Braun didn't fight the science. It was how they handled the whole thing.
Got you. I'm going to ask him a quick question before we bounce, Joel. I just want to ask you a quick question since you live in the Bronx, man. How you dealing with all that insanity out there, man?
It's starting to die down a bit, which I think is good. I don't, you know, they're a 500 team, man. You know, like that.
Yo,
and that's the bottom line.
Yo, Joel Rodriguez is the realest New Yorker we know.
Yeah.
100.
Yo, man, thanks for the call, Joel, man. Call me anytime, man.
No problem. Be good, guys.
All right, take care. Yeah, man, that's real talk. But let me be real fast with this last story. Actually, let me get your opinion on this story real quick. You got Jason Campbell. There was a story out that he left his bride to be at the altar. Now, he denies this story. Anybody hear anything about this?
Yeah, I heard that the wedding was in the Dominican Republic. They had 162 guests, and they were all informed that the wedding was canceled on Saturday afternoon, like maybe an hour before the wedding. So, you know, that reeks of a bachelor or bachelorette party,
that went wrong.
Somebody did something wrong the night before the wedding that the other party found out about and realized, I can't go through with this. You know,
they let
smash
the best
man. The night before.
The whole story up.
They let LaRon Landry in the bridal suite.
Oh, snap.
Somehow, man, he was on Royce.
And just continuing with our theme of stories, the last story real quick is about your guy, Javaris Crittenden. He is back in jail for speeding.
Oh, my gosh.
Did
you hear what happened, though?
He wouldn't get out of the car, and he wouldn't sign the ticket.
Yeah, he was doing 60 in a 45-mile-per-hour zone. If you are out on bond on a murder charge, I would think every time you saw a cop, you would cooperate with whatever he was talking about. I really don't understand this guy, man. I think this dude really has something wrong with him at this point. And this is not going to, you know, once they start going into character and all that kind of stuff, this is not going to play well in his murder trial. So,
man,
he's making his own bed, man.
I'm an African-American guy from the inner city living in Philadelphia. I get scared when I see the cops, and I'm not even doing nothing wrong.
Sure.
I'm 30 and a 45, a cop pulled behind me, I still get nervous. Like, that's just something that's inherent in me. So for this guy who's out on a bond for a murder charge to, like, act this way, like, dude has mental issues, man.
Yeah. he's going through some stuff. But all right, whatever.
Too much Tupac.
He listened to too much hip hop. Anyway, man, that's what happened while you were on the grind, man.
All right, we're going to pass the rock. And if you're listening for the first time, Pass the Rock is a segment we do. We're all five, but tonight all four of your hosts get to rant on any sports topic they feel the need to rant upon while doing it in a basketball-themed way. We're passing the rock down to the last person to get a shot so we can move on to the rest of the show. So I'm going inbound.
Tell me where you at, sir. Tell me where you at, sir.
And I'm going to tell you that what we just talked about makes me a little mad, and I don't really have much to say. I just want to say that Javaris Crittenden is a jackass. And with that, I'm going to pass the rock to my man, Akil Bayon, waiting for the rock on the wing.
Yo, good evening, War Room family. I just wanted to take the time to talk about an NBA player on that Javaris Crittenden team who has slid under the proverbial radar. His name is Ryan Anderson, and he plays for the Orlando Magic. The 6'10", 240-pound Anderson has averaged 9 points per game for his three-year NBA career. But this year, he's averaging a career high of 16 points and 7 rebounds per game while shooting 43% behind the three-point line. I guess he's like Matt Bullard on steroids. Now, he has had high games of 30 points, 27 points, 27 points, and 24 points, just to name a few, and high rebound games of 15 rebounds, 11 rebounds, 11 rebounds, just to name a few, and even made 7 three-pointers in a game multiple times. And other than that, that's all for Ryan Anderson. I just wanted to bring light to his breakout season that has slid under the radar. Now, in other news, I wanted to address a bold statement that I made a few weeks ago about the L.A. Clippers having the best four guards in NBA history with perennial All-Star Chris Paul, multiple All-Star Chauncey Billups, one-time All-Star because Jameer Nelson tore his shoulder up, Mo Williams, and Randy Foy, who was compared to Dwayne Wade in pre-draft workouts. My statements were quickly brought down back to earth as my co-host and I realized that there were many other backcourts who were better. The more I thought about it, I realized that I may have been thinking that they may have been the best stable of point/combo guards in NBA history under 6'4". When I made my statements, I forgot that Eric Bledsoe was the fifth guard on the team, and he also played the point. So I guess I could say that pound for pound, the L.A. Clippers have the best 5-point/combo guards under 6'4 in NBA history. But then I did some research, and then, you know, I realized that in 97, the Suns had KJ Kidd, Nash, and Ramil Robinson, and the fifth guard was Rex Chapman. And then, obviously, you had the Pistons with Isaiah Dumars, Vinnie Johnson, Gerald Henderson, and Stan Kimbrough. I don't know who he was. So with that, I'm done, and I would throw a cross-court pass to the other wing to my man, JW the Blueprint.
Yes, sir, Kill. Yes, sir. It's funny because as soon as you said that, the Pistons automatically came to mind in terms of having the best guards, the entire, you know, pound for pound having the best guards. And also in reference to Ryan Anderson, I find it funny that he had like 30-something points last week, and his coach still got on him because he only had 2 rebounds. he's the coach's punching bag, or as we call him in Philly, the coach's Evan Turner. At any rate, what's up, War Room World? This is Jimmy, a.k.a. The Blueprint, and this week I want to say a few words about Linsanity. Now, I applaud the work that Jeremy Lin is putting in on the court, and I hope he has a long, prosperous career. Many know that I'm a Twitter addict, and I constantly have convos about sports on Twitter. With that being said, you can follow me at JW The Blueprint and make sure you follow the company at War Room Sports. At any rate, this past week, someone came on and told me that Jeremy Lin is the Jackie Robinson of the NBA. Seriously? All I can say to that is GTFOH. Jeremy Lin is breaking stereotypes, but that is not comparable to Jackie Robinson, who broke a color barrier. Jackie Robinson initially wasn't allowed to play just because of the color of his skin. I personally support Linsanity and Tebow Mania. And no, I am not comparing the two athletes, so don't send me any hate tweets or emails, but I do appreciate how they force us to have serious conversations about race and religion. While we have these conversations, let's not get caught up to the point where we compare someone having a nice 3-week run to someone who from the beginning of their career with the Dodgers had their will tested. I mean, even some of Robinson's teammates objected to having an African-American on their team. People in the crowd sometimes jeered at Robinson, and he and his family received death threats on multiple occasions. This is nothing like Jeremy Lin. Today's NBA is a pure meritocracy, and as long as he produces, he will continue to play. People never questioned Robinson's ability to play, but he wasn't wanted for other reasons. So let's continue to support Lin, but at the same time, we should definitely keep things in perspective. I'm nice, and you're welcome. And with that, I see my man B. Austin Cutting, and I'm just going to hand you the rock off, good brother.
All right, I'll come off that pin down, grab the ball, and say that War Room Sports is a for-profit, socially conscious, truth-telling, politically incorrect, regular guy, save and invest, articulate, lyrical, hip-hop listening, no female clothes-wearing institution within our community focused on the greater good. With that being the case, we've come together and decided to roll out a new program, which we're going to call the Big Brothers and Sometimes Your Pop Helping Out Athletes Program and Entertainers. I'm working on this, and I really want fan input and listener input. What programs should we offer today's athletes and entertainers so that they don't end up sitting in their car when pulled over by police and they're not on their meds? What programs should we offer to keep cats from blowing $154 million over 10 years? What programs should we offer to keep cats from wearing too tight female clothes and coming on TV and making decisions? Think about it and get back to us. I'll be coming up with more in future about this program. With that, I'll pass the rock.
Off the backboard?
Off the backboard. Off the See, you didn't see me, though. Finger roll, left hand, because I was pushed off. In it goes, I wink at the cheerleaders, blow a kiss to my wife, and walk off the court.
The crowd goes wild.
All right, everybody, you can check out our website at warroomsports.com. While you're there, be sure to sign up for the War Report, our weekly newsletter. Click on the Contact Us tab. Send a message to us about our company, our show, or to inquire about sponsorship and advertising opportunities. For general inquiries, email us at info@warroomsports.com. While you're browsing the site, click on the memorabilia tab to buy War Room Sports merchandise and click the blog tab to read our latest sports articles on the All Fair in Sports and War blog. Then click the respective icons to like our Facebook page, follow us on Twitter, subscribe to our iTunes podcast, and to download our free War Room Sports mobile app on your Android or Apple devices. Watch our videos at warroomsportstv.com. Join the JW Philly Realty chat room right now during the show at blogtalkradio.com/the War Room. To get into the chat room, just sign up for a free profile on Blog Talk Radio. If you don't want to create an account, you can sign in through your Facebook and your Twitter accounts. While you're at it, click follow to make the War Room one of your favorite Blog Talk Radio shows and get updates and reminders about the show. We'll be taking questions and reading posts from Facebook, Twitter, and the chat room every week during the show. To call in and speak with us personally and directly, dial the Digital Extreme Technologies hotline at 323-410-0012. Press 1 when prompted. If you're already listening from your phone, just press 1 if you want to talk. Pressing 1 is like raising your hand, so raise your hand and we just might call on you. Before Austin takes us into this HOS for FOH, I'm going to go to the phone lines real quick. We got the homie Omar holding on. Omar, you are in the War Room, brother. What's up?
What's up, guys?
What's good, brother O?
Yo, I had to call y'all, let y'all know, yo, that big free Big Meech is classic. Yo, that's hilarious.
That was our free Big Meech portion of the show, man. All the stories about drugs, man.
That is hilarious, dude. I can't get over it, man.
Where are you, man? You in L.A. or you in Orlando? What's up?
I'm in L.A. This school keeps me too busy. I can't mess with Orlando right now.
How's it coming?
Oh, everything is good, man. Everything is
man,
good.
You got to let the people know what the school is and what that's about, man, because some of them don't know. Let our listeners know how you get down and what you're doing for the community.
Well, it's a school based on finance, teaching kids everything from opening a bank account to the importance of their credit, intern, mentorship, the whole nine. Our cafeteria after school turns into a convenience store, which is ran by the student body, which, you know, they can serve the community and create employment for themselves. And we linking the deal now with H&R Block to when they get in 11th grade. They get their own accounts, they research companies, and they invest real money into the stock market and the companies they research, and hopefully profits come out and it pays for their college tuition.
Wow. Is this something that you guys are planning on taking across the country, or is it something specific to that location?
Well, no, this is the first one, and hopefully we're going to spread. We're looking for our second school to be in Flint, Michigan, and the third school actually will be in D.C.
And the name of the school?
Dave Bing Academy.
Dave Bing Academy, y'all.
That sounds in line with our program, Austin. We might have to have to ask if we can get down with the faculty and get our Big Brother and Daddy program together.
We're getting the Big Brother and Daddy program for athletes, misguided athletes and entertainers program. That's going to be the War Room. We're going to roll that out because we got to keep these dudes from killing themselves, man.
This is all about finance. We might have to send Allen Iverson to Dave Bing Academy.
Got to send T.O.
No doubt about it. A lot of these athletes, man, they get caught up with, you know, at an early age, you know, no father, and these AAU coaches and the cats, the middleman cats that want to play the fatherhood. And once, you know, the player is, you know, going on to the NBA and start making any mistakes and they get their money, you know, they just leave them with no type of guidance. And, you know, American Express and any type of company, you know, come in and take over their finances and tell them, you know, spend what you want. And then at the end of their career, you know, they look up and they say, I made $30 million, but you don't spend $50 million because American Express says you got a card that's unlimited. And, you know, they just keep blowing that money and never think they'll run out.
Blowing money fast. Yo, shout out to Antoine Walker. Yo, World Wide West, come on the program and put us down with the info, man.
Hey, real quick, this is Kill. That's interesting you brought that up with the black card. And it's funny that, you know, all the rappers, entertainers, you know, athletes, everybody's like black card. So cats really think that, yo, the money is unlimited. And then 2 years after retirement, they're like, oh, snap, you know, it's where did it go? Like Malik on The Game, like true story type deal.
Yeah. It's a very expensive card, and a lot of people don't even know the dues every year, the maintenance fees, just to obtain it. And it's every million you come, you're still paying a maintenance fee on every million you spend, the percentages. It adds up. It's unlimited, but, you know, that's a big price for having an unlimited card.
Well, thanks for the call. Oh, look, when the school's about to do the grand opening, man, We're going to have you back on for another segment. I'm talking about an official joint where we can just have a whole show around the grand opening of
Let's broadcast the show from the school.
There you go.
We're going to hold you to that. There you go. Yes, sir.
All right.
And you guys interview all the celebrities while we did. Come on, sir.
All right.
That's cool.
All right.
So we'll be in touch. So thanks for the call. I'll let you.
No doubt.
Oh.
Man. Good work.
All right.
Shout out to Akil Bayon for being a original member of the board there at the Dave Bing Academy.
Yes, sir. Austin, you want
to
take us in? You got a subject for us for Hall of Fame?
Absolutely.
Go ahead and tell everybody who's sponsoring this segment, and then
I got you, brother. Outlined all right there in front of me. Schedule too hectic to read as much as you want? Well, try audiobooks and kick back and let someone else do the reading for you. All you have to do is visit Audible and sign up for your free trial at audibletrial.com/warroomsports. In no time, you can be listening to the latest bestsellers hands-free, stress-free, while getting other things done at the same time. I was going to say while laying back, Chewbacca.
Hall of Fame. I could be the worst to be in the Hall of Fame.
This is Hall of Fame or FOH, and of course you know what HOF being Hall of Fame and FOH meaning funds on hold or Falk, F-A-U-L-K, out of here. For this week's segment, Reggie Miller, guys, HOF or FOH?
Reggie Miller.
Reggie Miller. Who wants to get started?
All right, I'll go. I'll say Reggie Miller is a Hall of Famer just on, you know, the impact he had for his team, the impact he had in clutch moments in the playoffs. You know, 18 points for his career, but in his prime, he was about a 21 point scorer per game. Always one of the leaders in free throws made, and always, you know, 40% on three pointers. So, I say Reggie Miller definitely goes into the Hall of Fame. And then especially with that whole situation with the Knicks, where he scored, like, I think it was like 9 points or 8 points in like 15 seconds. And, yeah, there you go. For a long time, he was the second best two guard in the East behind Jordan. So, yes, he's in.
Yo, this is difficult for me, man. And some of the reasons that Akil said, you know, being the second best two guard in the East, at times when Mike was playing, that wasn't really hard to be, but still. I mean, because who was his stiffest competition? You had Reggie Miller, then, you know, a little before that, and overlapping, you had Dumars. Of course, you had, what's the dude named from the Knicks? Starks.
Man, the best two guard back then was my man Money Making Mitch.
No, but he said in the East. I'm trying to name
in the East. In the East
wasn't really that diesel
in the East.
Best.
Come on.
Yeah, to be the second best in the East is not all that impressive. Now, I'm really, really on the fence with this one because though his numbers aren't, you know, eye-popping, you do have to take into account that when games were on the line and it was time to lace up the shoes and tighten them up, Reggie Miller, he stepped up in those situations. I don't know if I ever thought of Reggie Miller as a person that kind of carried a team, and that's kind of what I look for from a Hall of Famer. It's just difficult, man.
Yo, it's funny. I'm going to give you a break while you
I'm going to go HOF for Reggie just because he's considered as the or one of the greatest shooters in the history of the league. He's considered one of the greatest clutch players in the history of the league. So I think if I'm on the fence, I think that pushes me over to the HOF side, even though his numbers and his awards and accolades don't really say Hall of Fame. I'm going to go HOF. And y'all know I'm difficult.
Yo, it's funny because when he first said the name, initially, I'm like, of course he is. But then as I think about it, I kind of changed my mind. But then I'm like, it's tough. In our chat room, WR Wade 2 says that Reggie Miller is a Hall of Famer because he made the three-point line relevant. And what you just said may have swayed me back to him being a Hall of Famer.
That's how I was, dude.
You know, it's like he's one of the greatest, known as one of the greatest shooters of all time.
Right.
But, like, for me, when I think of the Hall of Fame, I hold that in such a high regard that, you know, he was never the best player of his era. I don't even know if he was a top five player back then. Would you consider him a top five player in his heyday? I mean,
I don't think
he was
nowhere near top five. That's why it's difficult for me.
No,
that's what I'm saying. Because
he has
me,
so many.
To me, the Hall of Fame, is for the cream of the crop, guys who were the best at their position or just top five in the league, period, during their time. Like, when I think back to his heyday, right. It's like, I don't know. Like, I don't know where he ranked back then.
Because of what you said, that's kind of what I thought of too. But I took it out of position, and I'm like, well, he's the top five in something all time. You know, three-point shooting, foul shooting, maybe clutch, you know, that's subjective. But he definitely wasn't top five at his position. He definitely wasn't top five in the league when he played. But he has a niche. Now, I think his niche may be a little more important than the niche that Robert Horry carved for himself, where we said, well, he can have a little plaque that talked about what he did in the playoffs, but he can't be in the Hall of Fame. I think I could put Reggie in the Hall of Fame.
I mean,
he was a leader,
Ryman,
too. He was a leader, too.
Ryman's in the Hall of Fame, and he was a niche player, so to speak.
Who?
Who's the greatest?
I don't know. I think niche and role are two different things. Rodman's.
Okay.
I think Rodman was the greatest. He had a role. Like, Robert Horry really didn't have a role because, you know, every game he's not that dude.
Yo.
I just think his niche is when
situations
come
and
all the superstars get doubled and triple teamed. Robert Horry's niche is to stand there and wait for the open shot.
Yo, brother, it's because I hold you in such high regard and esteem that I'm going to say this, man. Yo, man. Stop talking about Robert Horry when we come to the Hall of Fame.
I was just trying to make the distinction between role and niche.
I know you were giving us an example, but
Dennis Rodman, what he did, he did every game. What Robert Horry did, he did once in a while, but it was big, memorable moments. You know what I'm saying?
I'm gonna give your man the big Lebowski pause. All the props on. Why Dennis Rodman should head to the Hall of Fame. I never saw a human being give Shaq that much problems, particularly at that size. Because Dennis Rodman was the size of a small forward, and they put him on anybody. And he gave Shaq problems. So defensively, he was a terror. And then on the offensive end, he gave you multiple possessions with his rebounding. So that's kind of where – Reggie is a tough one for me because I hold Clutch in such high regard. Like, I wouldn't find it funny if someone said, yo, let's talk about Bibby in this conversation.
Hold on.
Hear me out. I don't think Bibby should be anywhere near the Hall of Fame.
You talking about Henry Bibby?
Clutch. I hold Clutch in a high regard. High regard. And Dev, you simplified something for me. Listen, when someone comes to town, who are you planning to stop? Who do you game plan around?
And really, that sure ain't Bibby.
It might not have been.
Okay, so Austin and Jimmy, HOF.
I'm trying to avoid giving my opinion.
Yo, we're gonna be about to sign off for the night. Jimmy gonna be like, all right, man, all right,
yo,
HOF.
Because it's like I'm going back and forth, yo. But I'm gonna keep it funky, man. Like, yo, no. FOH. I'm going to be the only one on a limb by myself to say FOH, man. And the thing is,
you know,
I respect
that's usually
Miller.
Me. And Jim, trust me, man, I'm right there with you. It's just a few things that's just going to push me over the fence. And remember, to our listeners, you know, we don't know, like, this show is a one-man show segment every time we do it. We don't know who the subject is until we're told by the person who's doing the segment. So we basically have 2 to 3 minutes to make up our mind on a Hall of Famer. So,
yo,
you know what I'm saying? If I reserve the right to change my mind later. But right now, I'm going to push my way to the positive side of the fence. I'm going to give him an HOF. Jimmy's going to give him an FOH. Kill gives him an HOF. Austin, it's on you.
I'm going to abstain.
No, that's impossible.
From the question or from the Hall of Fame?
You don't have a chance to change it. But I'm going to tell you why I'm saying FOH. And it's because I hold the Hall of Fame in such a high regard that literally, if it was up to me, it may have been about 15, 20 people of all time in the Hall of Fame. And he would make the list. I don't consider him one of the best players of his era. But I think about his era, which was, you know, I guess the late 80s, 90s, what have you. I think about Mike. I think about Hakeem. I think about Patrick. And I want to pause all that. But, I mean, I don't think about Reggie Miller, so to speak. I think that's why Pemberton want to weigh in, too. He just called in. Brandon on sports.
Go ahead, Pemberton.
Put him on.
That's it. B.
Yo.
What's up?
Reggie Miller, Hall of Fame or get out of here.
How is this even a debate?
Here's why we're debating. It's because when I think about, like, I personally said FOH. Now, when we do FOH or HOF, we try to, like, make our own Hall of Fame. Like, forget who's in there and forget who you're comparing him against. If we were to create our own Hall of Fame, would he be in there? In my opinion, he wasn't one of the top five players of his era.
Well, let me ask you this, and this is critical to my decision, and then Brandon, the listeners want to hear from you. I try and be real objective with this. Like, y'all know how bad I hate Vince Carter, and he probably will play himself. Hopefully he plays 3 or 4 more years so he can play his way out of my Hall of Fame. But statistically, I had to put him in because of him being so dominant and such a productive scorer.
But you get the eyeball test. Even though his numbers are better, I got Reggie Miller being a better all-time player than Vince Carter.
Carter never did nothing in a big game. Nothing at all. He's even a career loser.
So what's your thoughts, Brandon,
him
on
him and his cousin. Him and Prince McGrady.
him and his family.
I mean, they're running the blood. Like, I mean, it's
all. T-Mac is one of the most overrated players ever. But would you consider Reggie Miller the top five of his era, though?
He ain't got to be top five to be a Hall of Famer. He played in the best, probably the best era of basketball. And he was a great player. He wasn't good. He was great.
See, but here's the
thing,
though.
Only five All-Star appearances make you great in 16 seasons? I'm the devil's advocate.
Look who the guards were the whole time he played. He played from 87 to 05.
Mike, and who else?
Joe Dumars was an All-Star every year. Michael Jordan was an All-Star.
Well, listen,
I mean, Isaiah Thomas
yeah.
made the All-Star game them years.
Joe Dumars, in my opinion, is another fraud. I mean, I'm talking about in terms. I'm not denying that he's a great player. He's definitely a great player. But the thing is, when we talk about the Hall of Fame, we try to have a Hall of Fame where you have nothing but the best. But the way I look at the Hall of Fame is this, and this is in every sport. When you tell the story of that sport, can you tell the story without mentioning these players? And I think that when I look at even in his prime, I don't think he was a top five player. Arguably, he may have been a top 10 player. But when you think about his prime, who were the top players in his prime? Of course, you want to say Jordan.
I mean, if you're just going by their rank when they played, I mean, I think in that era there was probably more than 10 people worthy of getting in the Hall of Fame, so I can't judge it that way.
Mitch Richmond probably, he was right behind Jordan most of his career.
I agree with you.
As far as two guards. Like, Mitch Richmond
I agree with you.
Probably was one of the most unappreciated superstars ever played. I mean, he was
let me make it. Mitch was nice.
Yeah, I mean,
that's the thing, Jimmy. Mitch Richmond, even though he might have been, like, the second-best two-guard, he might not have been a top-10 player of that era. But he still might go into the Hall of Fame. I mean, there's a lot of big men in that era. You know, you had David Robinson, Charles Barkley, Karl Malone. You had a lot of dudes. So I don't think it has to be a top-5 or top-10 thing. But I'm right here on the fence.
Patrick Ewing is a fraud. He shouldn't go.
Yeah, right.
Patrick Ewing is not a Hall of Famer.
All right, let's not get into other dudes, man. We're wasting time
Patrick Ewing?
Yeah.
Patrick Ewing? Stop it.
I know you're not serious
Somebody said Patrick Ewing wasn't a Hall of Famer?
He's joking, Brandon. He's got to be joking. So, Brandon, you definitely have Reggie Miller as a Hall of Famer.
Yeah, he's in, man. I mean, he performed great in the regular season, it was even better in the playoffs. Now, I mean, he showed up in big games year after year, going toe-to-toe against
I'm
Jordan.
I'm going Hall of Fame.
Against
I'm going
Celtics
Hall of Fame.
When he was young. Now, I mean, I remember having Chuck Person going at the Celtics, and I mean, when they was 24, 25 years old, they took him to 7 games in the late 80s.
Yeah,
and
I mean, everything you're saying
and
is
also,
right.
You
so
said
let's
Hall
take
of Fame? We got to move on.
Hall of Fame.
Let's take a
that's
tally. Four. I know Brandon's Hall of Famer. Dev, what you say, Dev?
I say Hall of Famer. Borderline fence, but I got him in the Hall.
Okay. Kill
got
I got him in the Hall of Fame just like, I mean, I got him in, but it's like barely, but he's in.
Okay. And B. Austin?
I tried to rock with you, Jimmy, but I tried, man. He's in the Hall, man.
All right. Well, I'm gonna say FOH, but I'm gonna preface it by saying this: in my personal Hall of Fame, there's like 15 players. and he doesn't make the list. My Hall of Fame is for the cream of the crop.
Yo, LeBron right. can't. LeBron must not be going in there because he darn sure wasn't a great.
Hey, Brandon. Hey, Brandon. Thanks for calling in, man.
Hey, man. Yeah, you know, man. I appreciate it, man. Y'all know I'm listening, man. I got nothing but love for y'all, man.
Everybody check out Brandon on Saturday on his show.
Brandon, real quick, Brandon. Before you leave, who's more clutch, Ramon James or Jeremy Lin?
Clutch. Lin hasn't even played in a big game yet, man.
Neither has LeBron.
I mean, we gotta get his full. Let's wait to the playoffs to see what he really got. And I mean, he already proved that he's an NBA player. I mean, I need to see more of a body of work before I just say he's a star. And I mean, I just need to see more. I mean, but he can play in this league, and he's proven so far that he's a starter. But, I mean, you know what it takes. I mean, we done seen guys come to the league and start a year and be good, and then the next 3 or 4 years, I mean, they're just pedestrians. So, I mean, let's just give a guy some time. He is an NBA player, though.
Yeah, he's proven himself to be nice. But everybody, make sure, like we said at the beginning of the show, make sure you listen to Brandon and his partner Chris every Saturday, 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. on ueradiolive.com. That's Sports Trap Radio. All right, B. Thanks for your call, man.
All right, fellas.
All right,
y'all. All right.
Take it easy.
Yo, and in our chat room, Ranked Top 5 just weighed in. They say, yes, indeed, Reggie Miller is a Hall of Famer. And to let Austin know that Lin is more clutch than Bron.
People coming at Brown like that. All right, so there it is. There you have it. Like we said, we reserve the right to change our minds after further review. I'm pretty sure the Hall of Fame committee don't, you know, convene for 5 minutes and make that decision, but that's what we do here. And right now, NBA Players of the Week, the aforementioned LeBron James and Kevin Durant. LeBron led Miami to a 4-0 week, averaging 27.8 points, 8.3 rebounds, 5.8 assists, and 2 steals. The dude shot 62% from the field, 90% from the foul line. That's crazy for LeBron. And 50% from three-point land. Kevin Durant led Oklahoma City to a 3-1 week. He had that 51-point outburst against the Nuggets on, what was that, Saturday, Jim? We were watching the end of that game?
Yeah.
So his averages for the week, 32 points, 8 rebounds, shot 59% from the field, 92% from the foul line, and 59% from three-point land. Dudes were on fire this week, so congratulations to those dudes. And I believe LeBron and Kobe were the latest NBA players of the month. So, Greg Oden, man, this story is getting sadder and sadder by the day. Of course, he goes in earlier in the week for just a routine procedure on his knee, clean some stuff up. They found more stuff in there than they were supposed to. This guy ended up getting his third microfracture surgery in the last 5 years. He was drafted in 2007, and he's played 82 games in the league, the equivalent of one season, no playoff games. What do you guys feel like? And he wants to give it another try. Like, what do you guys think about that? You think he should just retire, or do you admire, you know, the fact that he keeps trying?
The underdog.
You know, it's funny because someone called me and told me the story. It says, Odin's out for the season. I was like, yeah, and water is wet. I mean, it's to the point now where it's like, you know, I forget the fact that he's on there, like, they're taking up space in the league at this point.
Yeah, and he just got a new contract at the beginning of the year. I mean, it's not the re-up that he would have wanted had he been able to prove himself, but, you know, it was pretty good to not, you know, have played all those games. I just feel sorry for the kid, man. Like I said, in 5 years, he's only played 82 games. He keeps coming up with these crazy injuries that keeps him out season after season. I don't know. Like, we used to joke that he was Benjamin Button because he came in looking so old. I really do hope that he's getting younger because maybe he'll have all the knee problems now, and then when he's, like, 45 years old, he'll be dominating the NBA, scoring, like, 30 and 20.
Y'all remember when
it's sad, man. It's sad.
you'll remember when Zydrunas Ilgauskas went through that bout, probably about two, maybe three seasons where he had foot problems.
Yeah.
Then they got it corrected. That's what I'm hoping for the dude, man. Although,
yeah. I mean,
a lot
the thing about
these seasons, though.
Right. Yeah, because you're right. Because at first, when you said that, I was thinking Arvydas Sabonis. But I was like, he was already old, but he was talking about Big Z. You're right, because he came in, you know, he did his thing in, like, that rookie game and put himself on the map and, you know, became a pretty good center. And then, like you said, he had the foot problems.
Well, he had the foot problems the first, like, maybe his second year through his fourth or fifth year.
Right.
He kind of thought, man, this dude is going
to
be on the way to the shelf. Yeah. But then he straightened it out, and from year five through last season when he retired, he was more than a serviceable center. I call him a very good center.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, at a point, like we said about, you know, Miller and the whole Jordan thing, it wasn't really hard to be, but, you know, Z was one of the best centers in the league. There may have been a point where he was, like, the second best center in the East. Ain't hard to be, but still. yeah, man, I just feel sorry for Greg Oden, man. So.
Man,
well,
his commercials are funny.
Yeah, he seemed like an all right dude. Just this story might be even – well, the last one wasn't surprising, but this one might be even more surprising. Of course, we've been chronicling the whole Allen Iverson saga with the money, the jewelry, the fact that he can't get a run in the NBA. This week, he's been offered a contract from the Rochester Lancers of the Major Indoor Soccer League. They want to sign him for their final two games of the season and pay him $20,000 a game. They said to possibly play goalie for their team. Austin, would you do this if you were Allen Iverson?
Stop disrespecting me.
You know, I've actually heard people who says, well, money is money, he should do it. I don't think everybody's life should be lived just for money. There's a point where, you know, I guess pride can be a bad thing sometimes.
I don't think
he's broke enough where he needs
that,
you know,
right.
$40,000. He might be, you know, on his way, but I don't think this $2 million and $40,000 is going to do anything to change the state of his life right now. So don't go embarrassing and exploiting yourself, you know, for a couple of checks, man.
Hey,
I mean, I kind of think that the dude,
listening
to the quotes, I kind of think that the dude is trying to play him anyway. I mean, it doesn't sound like it's just straight up legit. It sounds like dude is really trying to clown Allen Iverson. He's willing to pay $40,000 to do it. So I'm not sure about this whole situation. But
they might as well draft him too. I was going to say, they might as well draft him to the football team that T.O.'s on in Allen, Texas. He could play quarterback.
That's what I'm saying. At least, you know, at least it could be a sport that he's played before. You know what I'm saying? That's why I just know this whole thing is just some whole
clown situation. This is like some Mike Tyson stuff when they was going to put him in the glass cage in Las Vegas and just look.
That's exactly what I was saying. Mike Tyson actually makes money off of fun of himself at this point.
Yo, and you know what the guy said from the soccer league? He said in Allen Iverson, you won't have to practice to play. That's why I think he's trying to play him out. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You're going to offer him a thing and say you don't have to practice. Like, $40,000 to make a fool out of yourself, to make a spectacle of yourself, I don't think it's worth it.
And I know at least one of y'all feel the same way that I feel. Like, I make my jokes, you know. We all make our jokes. But y'all know I'm hurting inside for the dude, man.
It's a real situation.
That's my second favorite player of all time. Next to Mike is AI. It's like he represents, you know, my generation. He represents, you know, my demographic, where I come from, you know, and the mistakes that he's made. You know, it's painfully obvious to see. Really, the dude has never grown up, and he has a warped sense of loyalty. You know, you can take the cat out of the hood, but if you don't give him the value system or teach him how to manage himself and his finances and his affairs, then really you haven't – all of this is for nothing, because now he's being close to being right back started.
Yeah.
I'm not laughing at you. I'm laughing at our chat room. Ranked Top 5 says, yeah, but 40 G's is 40 G's.
I mean, but I'm sure Allen Iverson got way more money than me, even at this point. And I'm not even sure.
You don't have, I mean, I don't know about
I'm
that.
I'm not sure. I
understand
play
why you say that.
Like that.
But from all accounts, like, he doesn't have, his bank accounts are frozen. When the government comes down and start freezing your account, unless he was keeping stash in the crib.
Well, he's that kind of dude. I heard he did a lot of his stuff with money rolls out the pocket anyway.
Yeah, that ain't that. Yeah. You say that, Jimmy, like,
not
you
that
say
far,
that, like, that ain't, like, that ain't
yeah,
his M.O. Like, he
fast.
Wouldn't have $2 million in the mattress.
So,
I mean,
you're saying he's a duffel bag boy.
Come on, he's the original.
Actually, Jimmy, now that they're, you know, freezing his accounts and they're, you know, just taking money from his accounts to pay off his creditors, he probably, like, calling his wife, soon-to-be ex-wife, like, see, I told you we shouldn't have used banks.
If I don't do nothing, I'm a ball. He's a duffel bag boy. He said, hey, I keep his stash in. Only real cats keep their stash in the wall, man.
Yeah, so that's crazy. Just a little nugget. Because we talked about this last week when he went in the 21st, but Dirk moved in the 20th all-time on the all-time scoring list. But Jason Kidd moves into second on the all-time steals list.
Yeah.
Me and Jimmy had a conversation at the little, you know, War Room retreat this weekend, but we didn't get to really rap to you guys about it. Like, real quick, where do you think Jason Kidd ranks all-time, you know, as far as point guards go? Y'all might be surprised if I have him.
I would say, is he better than Magic? No. So I would say, is he better than Cousy? Yes. Is he better than Stockton? Yes. So, man, I don't want to say two because I put Jerry West ahead of him. Jerry West played the one or two, one and two. So let's say I put him, is he better than Tiny?
I wouldn't look at West more as the two, though. I don't even look at him in that category, even though he did run points sometimes.
That's true.
I put Jerry West two guards.
I guess.
Yeah.
But hey, Jim, let him answer, though. Let him answer first.
I'm just going to let them answer.
Yeah,
you know
what? I know
what your answer is.
Hey, I'm going to say.
No, Jimmy.
Hey, I'm going to say three and leave two reserved for one of the greats. It could be anybody from Walt Frazier to who else? Walt Frazier to Pistol Pete to any of those cats. Tiny Archer Ball,
I'm not that far off, Jim. I'm not that far off, man.
Tiny Archer Ball was AI before AI. I can't even count him either, in a sense. Let me ask y'all this before I answer. See, because there's certain people that put a cat at number one, and I got a problem with him, not because he kissed Isaiah, but because, yo, don't you have to play basketball at both ends of the floor?
That's a very good point.
I mean,
but where
Magic comes in, I consider us impact too.
He did have tremendous
impact, Dev. But I consider us the informed. We're not the casual fans, and so when we analyze a player's game, we got to be objective. We got to look at every side. For as much great as he exhibited on the offensive end, yo, dude didn't do anything on defense.
But my thing about it is, when did he ever give up any baskets on a defensive end, or where did he get blown by? That never happened. The way the Lakers play defense, I guess in a sense,
they hit him.
Did.
The way the Lakers play D, they hit.
No, they played D. The Lakers played D.
No, I know the Lakers played D, but he didn't play D.
Yeah, but he played within the system. What I'm saying is you've never seen a highlight of anybody blown by Magic, crossing over Magic, getting around Magic, posting Magic up for a buck.
Listen, Jimmy, just
well,
like
most
Hans
of the time,
Ford,
the highlights are of Magic, so they're not going to embarrass him.
Yeah, just like Hans Ward.
World B. Free gave Magic like 38. I will say that. World B. Free gave Magic like 38.
Just like Hans Ward, yo, people that smile, they get along in life, man.
I'm saying, I grew up watching Magic play. You know, I grew up watching Magic play, and I mean, you say that he's not a great defensive player, but you're basing that on what?
No, not
his
great.
Ability,
I'm saying, no. Don't even put great in there. He's not even good defensively.
But here's my question. My question is, are you saying that based upon his ability or based upon what you saw? Because what did you see to make you say that he's not a great player?
Not a great defensive player. I didn't say he wasn't a great player.
That's what I meant. That's what we're talking about. That's what
his
I meant.
Hole,
what did you
the
think?
Hole in his, and let me bring this back around to why it's relevant to Jason Kidd. Jason Kidd, in his prime, did everything well except for maybe shoot jumpers, and that was for a period in his career. He steadily improved that. So reality is, at this stage of the game, he has one of those games that's really complete. There's nothing on a basketball court that kids can't do and do at a high level. So for me, I would rank him. I would rank him. I don't know, man. I got to think about that. He's definitely in my top five point guards. Probably
but here's my
top
thing.
Three.
Here's my thing. You say that Magic wasn't a great defensive player. Magic was actually an asset on defense because he guarded multiple positions. And then you talk about. I mean,
yo,
that's
but
what
that's
I'm
based
to...
on that's based on size. That's size.
Also,
that's like saying LeBron. LeBron is a hell of a defender because he can defend the two through the four.
But that's what I'm saying. What are you basing it on? Are you basing it on what they did, or are you basing it on the abilities you believe they had? Because
listen,
if you look at
the
what
same
they
argument
did,
you're making, Jimmy. The same argument. I can make that argument for Steve Nash, and we know he gets trashed on D.
Yeah, but I mean, I've actually seen him get blown by. I've never seen Magic get blown by.
Because they don't let him get out on an island. Yo, if I know somebody's going to bust.
So what are you basing it on? That's what I'm asking you.
If I know they're going to bust, if I know they're going to bust Magic ass, I hide him on the weakest defensive
assignment. So what are you basing it on?
I'm basing it on Michael
I asked you guys, where does Jason Kidd rank? Can we get some answers and not argue about Magic? We can do that another
Number
time.
Two.
I've got him in the top five. And by the way, Jason Kidd and Magic average the same amount of steals and blocks per game for their career, but that's a sidebar. But I have Jason Kidd in the top five. And I'm going to be honest with you. It's something with me. When I see players that played in so many different teams, it kind of like skews my rankings. I don't know if that's just me.
Nah, I feel you. That does it for me too. Because why did they get rid of him, or why was he moved around so much?
You know what I'm saying? Because when I think about you being a top one or two,
a lot
or
of
even
times,
three
though,
at your position.
I think and it's kind of a different era in the league. You see a lot of people
right.
wearing different jerseys. You know,
it wasn't really
like that back then. So I think a lot of times, like, if a team felt – it was before what they do now where they're just threatening people and stuff. But if they didn't have a lot of stuff around Kidd and they felt that he might bounce when it's time to bounce – I think, you know, they decided, you know, let's trade him and get something for him. But I think a lot needs to be said that he led the Nets to back-to-back finals appearances.
Exactly.
And that
You're
team
right.
wasn't that talented. That Nets team wasn't that talented.
That's a great point.
I mean, that's why they got there and got smacked twice because they weren't even supposed to be there.
Do y'all remember when Jason Kidd was on the Nets, not only did he run the offense, he used to scream at Vince Carter, and eventually in his frustration, he would just say, all right, I'll take the hardest defensive assignment. You go over there somewhere and do whatever you do. So not only was he running the team, he was scoring, setting them dudes up, and playing the toughest defensive assignment. And he's still not a bad defender.
Well, you know, no disrespect to Zeke and Stockton and all those cats, but I got Jason Kidd is number two all time as far as point guards go. For the stat heads out there, you know, by the time he's gone, he's going to be at least number two in most categories if he isn't already.
I mean, I got Isaiah above him. That's me personally. I think Isaiah was a better ball player and a better point guard. That's just me personally. I would take Isaiah. Like, if I'm drafting and I'm looking at these guys in their prime, and I have Magic, Isaiah and Jason Kidd there, I would take Magic and Isaiah before I would Jason Kidd, and that's no slight to him. I do have him in the top five, but I don't, like I said before, I don't know if it's just me. When I see guys that play for multiple teams, it kind of like, you know, excuse my opinion, but I still think that Zeke at the top of his game and Jason Kidd at the top of his game, I mean, I would take Zeke in a heartbeat.
Jimmy,
I might
Jimmy,
take
I,
Zeke
I,
in that draft if I don't, if what I need isn't positional. If I need a point guard with the pure, you know, definition of the term point guard, I'm taking Jason Kidd because, you know, he, you know, his whole thing was to set up others. He got a lot of scraps, and this dude is the master of the triple-double at the point guard position, and he wasn't 6'9 like Magic. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So he did a lot of things Magic did, and he wasn't 6'9.
So
I got to
say that,
I
make
sure my but I feel you. I feel you, though, with the whole ball player versus point guard distinction, even though you got Zeke being the better at both. I would say Zeke's the better
yes.
the straight-up ball player, and I got Kidd as the better point guard.
When you say
yeah,
that, I don't think Zeke could have got the Nets to the Jimmy, I don't think Zeke could have got the Nets to the finals. Although I want to say Zeke is better, when I think about it more critically, I'm like, I don't think Zeke couldn't have got that team to the finals.
I disagree with that. I think they do because when the Nets went to the finals, in terms of the East was down then. I think Zeke could have. Zeke was that good of a player. People forget how good Zeke was. But the thing about it is that when you made that statement, it reminded me of Bob Knight.
I don't forget. I wore his number in high school. I was a Zeke fan. Zeke and Kevin Johnson.
Bob Knight says he always picks the best player regardless of position. And when the draft, when Jordan was Sam Bowie was picked ahead of Jordan, they said they asked him who to pick because he coached the Olympic team, and he said Jordan. And the guy from Portland said, "We need a center, though. We have Clyde." He said, "Well, draft Jordan and play him at center." He said, "You always want the best player." He says, "I don't care about position. You just draft the best player." And that's what it reminded me of. Like, to me, Zeke was that dominant. Zeke was nice.
Yeah,
he gets lost in the grand scheme of things. When you talk about the greatest player, Zeke's
I don't think
name
he does
never
because
mentioned.
If I got Kidd at two, then Zeke is definitely number three. The one who gets lost in my shuffle a little bit is probably John Stockton. And he was a
and
baller.
And John Stockton had game, though.
Yeah, he had game.
Get,
he was a baller, but he probably gets
get
lost in the shuffle because by numbers, you know, people figure he should be the second greatest point guard of all time. But, you know, right now I probably shift him down to at least number four.
My thing is, why would you rank Kidd ahead of him? That's all I'm asking.
Because he does everything, man. How many triple-doubles are you supposed to get from a 6'3", 6'4", point guard?
Well,
like, he picked his stamp on every aspect of the game. Always has. And, I just think that's crazy.
Yeah.
Like, if you need a point guard that's going to go out there and kill and score, I'm going to Zeke. Not that he couldn't play point guard, because Zeke has set his peoples up, too. But, you know.
I go Earl
to Pearl Monroe at number one.
In our chat room, ranked top five said Jason Kidd is the seventh best point guard. He said Magic, Zeke, Tiny, John Stockton, Walt Clyde Frazier, and he has Allen Iverson as a point guard. And then Jason Kidd.
AI was never a point.
AI didn't make his name as a point guard. No.
I mean, he didn't make his name, but AI was a point. Let's say he never was a point, B.
He played point once. If that's the case, if you're saying AI is a point, then Michael Jordan's a point. Kobe's a point. They both played point one season. Everybody knows
so
AI.
AI only played point one season, you're saying?
Yes.
No, I'm not
like
saying
two,
that.
Like, he played two seasons at the point.
I'm about to say, what is it?
Your career?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, and the crazy thing is about
this
argument
at the point, too.
Yeah, my arguments with AI, like, always
yeah,
thought
but
he
AI was
down
drafted as a point because he's 5'11". And
yeah.
They quickly realized,
they
like, that's not his strength.
Yeah. And they had Stackhouse. And I always thought AI could have went down as the greatest point guard ever if he would have focused on it.
Yeah.
Hands
and
down.
He goes down as probably about the fourth or fifth best shooting guard ever.
Yeah.
All right, well, let's move on while Jimmy checks out who's on the phone lines. Let's see. Kobe, he did some ranting this week towards management. About the whole Pau Gasol trade rumor thing, and he was telling management, you know, make a decision already. If you're going to trade Pau, then trade him. If you're not, then announce that you're not going to trade him. But, then, you know, I see what Kobe's doing. You know, he's trying to look out for his teammate. But at the same time, you know, you lose all kind of competitive advantage if you just announce this guy's up for trade or this guy's not up for trade. So I don't really understand how he thinks management can just come out and make a definitive statement about, you know, about whether or not they're going to trade Powell. So I see what Kobe's trying to do, and from a leadership standpoint, I applaud that. But from a basketball standpoint, I'm like, shut up. What are you talking about?
I see, the thing about this whole Kobe thing, it's a lot deeper, because from what I'm hearing, Jim Buss is not even, like, taking Kobe's phone calls or like, giving him the respect due. So
right.
I guess he's trying to, like, get his point across any way he can. It's to the point now where, like, Jeannie Buss, who's his sister, she says that she wants to get she wants to put her hand in the decision making, because, you know, since the pop left the business to the kids, they run it into the ground. If you want
to
keep
it, like, I'm not saying anything to defend Jim Buss, because when you have a transcendent superstar like that, you got five titles with the dude, you don't have to, like, do what he says, but, you know, it's good to run things by him, let him know what you're thinking. But it's not just Kobe. Mike Brown, I mean, you know, we really doesn't think he gained much respect in that aspect anyway, but he's still your head coach. He's the guy you picked. They're not even telling Mike Brown about what their plans are and what's possible. So I'm thinking Jim Buss, like, you know, there's a better way to run the team. But at the same time, Kobe can't really expect them. They can tell him, you know, what they plan on doing. But he's telling them they should just come out and, you know, say whether or not they're going to trade Powell. I don't think they should do that. Because, you know,
he's just trying to get the owner's attention. Like, yo, holler at me.
Yeah.
Because
so,
it's to the point, it's getting so bad over there. It's like, it's to the point where a lot of the players are, like, disrespecting the coach, don't buy into what the coach is teaching. And,
right.
I mean, we all saw that coming. But, I mean,
how can you buy into what Mike Brown is teaching?
But Jim Buss is trying so hard not to fall in his father's shadows that he's just, like, running the business the way he sees fit. And a lot of people are used to it running one way. If you watch what Magic said, Magic said that Jerry Buss came down and, you know, hollered at Kobe. And Jim Buss was like, I'm not even responding to you. Like, you know, talk all you want to.
Yeah, Magic said Jerry Buss was the master of, like, taking you to lunch, taking you to dinner, telling you what's up, what I'm thinking, running stuff by you. But real quick, because we're running behind, I'm going to go to the phone lines real quick. Tobias from Phoenix, you're in the war room. What's on your mind?
Hey, what's going on, gentlemen?
What's up, Tobias?
What's up, homie?
How you doing?
I'm all right, man. You know, I can't talk to Alabama basketball. We stink. But the thing is, I'm a Bulls fan. All right.
Okay.
And my thing is, one, I love reading these blogs and these stupid Bulls fans, these blind homers. I'm a fan of Ballmer Realist. We don't have enough to beat Miami. I'm going to be honest. We only got one guy who's consistent, and no one else is consistent on that team. They don't have to make a move. Might get, because I don't think Dwight Howard comes to Chicago. For some inexplicable reason, he wants to play for the Knicks. you know, that's how you know he doesn't care about winning. I'm sorry. But the thing is, he doesn't care about winning. I'm sorry. But the thing is, the Bulls, they will have to make a move because they got a lot of players who are limited. But if she can get some overvalued, you may be able to pull an O.J. Mayo. Or you may even be able to sucker the Lakers out of Gasol, you know.
Right.
But you're going to have to make a move because, let's be honest, Miami's only getting better. And if you got three guys who consistently get you 20-plus points a game. And the other thing that people ain't looking at is Chris Bosh is the real difference because Chicago has no one who can make Chris Bosh work on defense.
Exactly.
D-Wade, the Bulls usually play a good D on him. You're not going to stop LeBron. But you have Chris Bosh who can score anybody on that team, and no one can make him play defense over there. And then they can put LeBron on Derrick Rose. But the thing I tell y'all real quick, the reason it didn't work against Jason Terry, against the finals, put LeBron on, they had other guys who could shoot. Lou Alden couldn't even take advantage of Mario Chalmers last year. You know, he's 6'8". So until they get this kid some help, you know, and stop saying we're going to see things out of Carlos Boozer is never going to do it.
But what do you suggest they do? Because, I mean, what pieces would you give up to get somebody? Because you got to give something up to get, you know, like what do they have in terms of
I mean, they have a lot of role players on that team. I kind of agree with what you're saying, but it might not end up being superstar help, but they at least need somebody else who can score the ball without having to be set up, somebody that can, you know, score the ball on their own. Like he said, somebody like a O.J. Mayo. You know, maybe not a superstar, but Derrick Rose does need help because by the time the playoffs come if they do make it deep into the playoffs, he's going to be beat down by the time they get to a team like the Heat.
He was last year. He was last year because Indiana gave them trouble. And the thing is, Ashiq and Taj Gibson are very overrated. They're overvalued, and Ashiq going to be an unrestricted free agent. Heck, if I holler at Portland, look at Wesley Matthews. You know, he get his own shot. He get his own points. He just needs someone who's consistent. You know, someone that's all you need to get the guys on help because you may not have a championship window that open that long. That's what people forgetting about.
Hey, Tobias, this is a kill, and I'm a Bulls fan as well, and I agree with a lot of your statements. One thing I will say about Ashiq and Gibson is they're great defenders in the system that we have under Thibodeau, so that's why they're valued. Because if you notice, we lost our starting backcourt, and we still kept winning. Rip went out, Rose went out, and we're just basically shutting teams down defensively. Now, on offense, we really don't have too much when those two go down, and Derrick Rose does have to work on his clutch situation, because if you notice, as great as a player or free throw shooter he is in clutch moments, he doesn't make the J that's needed, like in the finals last year, I mean the Eastern Conference Finals, and at the foul line. But I agree. I didn't think Rip was a good move. I thought we could have got somebody that could do more off the dribble. But, you know, I agree with a lot of your statements.
Yeah, and my last thing is this. I feel like Carlos Boone, they might as well go ahead and use an amnesty on him next year. If they're not going to make a move, just use an amnesty on him, get him out of there, because he's not getting any better. But you're right. I feel like that they don't – it's like Rip was a bad move. He's too old. You know, I feel like the Bulls managers have to get aggressive one of these days, because you don't want to wait, because look how hard it is to get a star. Derrick Rose was their first all-star since Michael Jordan, Scottie Pippen.
The problem is the move that the Heat made kind of put a wrench in everything. You know what I mean? It's like they're the team to beat and will be the team to beat for the the following years unless LeBron goes back to Cleveland. But I mean the move they made is kind of like it's changed the game more or less, because now a team like the Bulls before Miami made that move would have been competing for a championship, and now it's like they can't beat the Heat.
No, you can't.
Hey, but Tobias, thanks for your call, man. We appreciate the call.
You got to take it easy, bro.
All right, thanks, homie.
That's crazy because everybody that I know is a Bulls fan craps on Boozer. I mean, the dude averages like 16-8, shoots over 50%, shoots about 54%, and people hate his guts.
Hey, Jimmy,
like
I think
Beijing,
what it is.
He got the Beijing dye in, and he ain't go to the Philly hair company.
No, what it is, it seems like in Utah, it just seemed like he was much more dominant. And in the playoffs, like, Joel Anthony is throwing his shot left and right. He can't score. Like, yeah, I think that's
maybe
what it
he
is.
Maybe he doesn't know how to defer. I mean, in Utah, I mean, he had Darren, but, you know, Rose is a different beast as far as scoring and carrying the team. But I don't know. Who knows? Jimmy's back on.
Joel came back. He said he want to talk some hoops real quick.
All right, get him on real quick. Joel,
okay,
what's
no
up?
Doubt.
You want to weigh in on the JCJ thing or?
A couple things. For one, Reggie is a Hall of Famer. I think he's still a little overrated in my book. Okay, and this isn't a disgruntled Luke Tran talking either. He's still, I think, slightly overrated. I kind of compare him to like Andy Pettit, where Andy Pettit gets looked at for his big game. But Andy Pettit's had some games we got straight rocked in the postseason, and it kind of just goes by the wayside. Reggie Miller has had some games.
That's a great comparison.
Reggie Miller's had some games where he's, straight disappeared in the postseason, but everybody remembers, the 8 points in 2 seconds and the big fourth quarter or whatever.
But you're not a disgruntled Knicks fan, though.
I'm not, because he lost that series. Just the game where he played the choke sign and all that.
That's what people don't remember about a lot of moments in NBA history. You had the whole Michael Jordan against the Celtics thing, the 63 points. They lost the game. They lost the series. Like, it's funny what we remember.
Larry came in the locker room and said, "I was playing against God."
Yeah, Larry said that because he beat him.
Game 7 against Orlando did nothing. He's had a few games where he's just didn't show up.
Joel, you gave us a new theory now. We call it the Andy Pettit theory, because that's a great that's a great comparison, and it makes perfect sense. And I kind of agree with you on that. People remember moments, but they don't look at the grand scheme of things. Like, in the grand scheme of things, They didn't win, but he did create that moment, and people do remember these great moments.
See, and how I was on the fence, Jimmy, is kind of the same place where Joel is right now. Like, he puts him in the Hall of Fame, but still think he's a bit overrated. And I think, as history goes, I think people do tend to overrate Reggie Miller, because you see how easy everybody else called in and said, oh, for sure, he's a Hall of Famer. I don't think it's
no.
that easy to make that
no,
distinction.
Absolutely
not. Yeah.
Hey,
we only got like
hey,
25 minutes left, Joel, so thanks for calling in again. We're going to move
right,
on.
Cool.
Make sure you listen every week. All right, man. Thanks.
Great call, Joel. Thank you.
Great call, Joel.
Yeah, that was a great analogy he used up on
yeah,
that.
Yeah, he gave me a whole new theory, man. That's a great call because that's facts right there.
Hey,
okay,
Kevin, Jimmy,
yeah.
I was going to say real quick, in Bill Simmons' book, he actually knocked Reggie Miller down a few pegs, too, by looking at the games they didn't come through and saying how those other moments kind of overshadow our thought process.
Okay.
Yeah.
So he was on the same page. All right, one more thing before we got to quickly go through our midseason awards so Jimmy can take us through the All-Star game coming up this weekend. But you guys heard about the several people – mainly Spiro Ditas, one of the broadcasters for the Knicks. He got suspended for when they lost to the Hornets. He said there's a chink in the Lynn armor. And I don't know if he was doing that purposely, but there were like two other people out there who either got suspended or fired for saying the same thing. But I'm not sure if he said that by mistake or if he really meant something like that. I don't understand why he would do it because he works for the Knicks. You know, but
I'm not even comment on that.
Yeah,
I mean,
it's like the whole Jeremy Lin thing is getting big both ways. Positive, you got people taking shots at him, racial shots. So, you know, I'm pretty sure dude is about to be overwhelmed. And last thing real quick before we get into the awards, I did hear that Nike has a shoe in the work for Jeremy Lin. Knicks colors with you know, his name on the back, LIN on the heel, and
come on,
I heard
man.
The contract is only like $2 to $4 million for the contract, so I'm not sure if it's a long term thing. They're probably gonna see how much sizzle
the
whole situation takes before they re up the contract. But that's what
come
I hear.
On.
Don't quote me on it. I'm not sure if it's just a rumor or not, but. Remember,
hey.
Jim, I was telling people this week, I'm like, he'll have his own shoe by next week, and he probably will have his own shoe by next week. So real quick, our midseason awards, before we get into the All-Star festivities, let's go down the list real quick. Most improved player, executive of the year, coach of the year, sixth man, defensive player of the year, rookie of the year, and MVP. Who has a list and they want to start out real quick?
I'll go.
Great, read your
list,
Kev.
I'll sign off. I have most improved. It was going to go to Ryan Anderson, but now it's going to go to Jeremy Lin. Rookie of the year, Kyrie Irving. Sixth man, James Harden. MVP, LeBron James. Executive of the year, GM for Oloshe, Olshea, for the Clippers by default through David Stern blocking the other trade. And I believe that's all of them. And defensive player. Oh, Dwight Howard.
Howard.
Yeah,
who else?
Yeah.
All
and
right,
one
well,
thing.
I'll
oh,
go.
Wait, hold on.
All right.
Real quick. One thing about the whole Jeremy Lin thing, and then I'm out. That's like saying if it was a black player and his name was Reese, and then he was about to sign a contract, and then he said he's going to New York, and then he didn't, and then they said they would publish Reese reneged. You know, that's kind of like the same thing, and
right.
They would get fired.
I'll tell you. Real quick before you go off kill, your midseason resets, Eastern Conference Finals, Western Conference Finals, Finals, and the champion.
Oh, yeah. I have OKC beating the Spurs. And then I have the Heat beating the Bulls, and then the Heat beating OKC in the finals.
Okay. All right, man. Next week, we holler at you. All right, so for me, I got the most improved player. Like, how can you not go with Jeremy Lin last year? I don't know. He probably was about to commit suicide somewhere. executive of the year, I'm going to go with Neil Oshie. Like I said, that's kind of by default because they blocked the Lakers trade. So, you know, the Clippers – jumped on it, got Chris Paul, you know, they signed Kenyon Martin. They got Chauncey, even though that didn't work out, so I'll give it to him. Coach of the Year, Doug Collins from the Sixers. Sixth Man of the Year, Lou Williams from the Sixers. Much props to Harden, but Lou Williams leads his team in scoring off the bench. Not just his bench in scoring, he leads the team in scoring. Defensive Player of the Year, Dwight Howard. Rookie of the Year, Kyrie Irving, who's balling very quietly in Cleveland, but all of the big stories of the league is kind of overshadowing him. Like, even before the Lynn situation and the Knicks and the Heat, you had Ricky Rubio, who came out balling and just overshadowed Kyrie Irving. MVP, it's a tight one between LeBron and Kevin Durant. Right now, I'll probably say LeBron has the edge because he has the Heat clicking on all cylinders right now. My Eastern Conference Finals, it'll still remain Bulls and Heat. Western Conference Finals, OKC. I'm still put LA. I think LA might sneak in there, you know, especially if they make this move that they've been trying to make. And I think at this point, I would have to say the Heat and OKC, and I'll have the Heat winning the NBA championship. Go ahead, Jim.
All right. My most improved player, of course, has to be Jeremy Lin at this point. Executive of the Year is David Stern because he's just he's dope and he does what he wants to do. Who else could be the Executive of the Year?
Be a man.
Come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
I'm going with David Stern. Coach of the Year, I'm going to have to go with Doug Collins. Sixth Man of the Year, I would say the hometown guy, but I have to give it to James Harden, just watching, you know, them playing and his impact. Defensive Player of the Year, they might as well just give it to this guy every year, because when you watch them play, it may not even show up statistically, but the way he changes shots and forces the other team to play, I mean, you have to give it to three-heads Dwight Howard. Rookie of the Year, Kyrie Irving, of course, because he is definitely balling. My MVP is kind of nobody else will probably say this. My MVP is actually Chris Paul. And I don't think Chris Paul is the best point guard in the league, but when I watch his impact on that team, and also he basically shifted the power in the West to, you know, one way from one team to the other with his move, but he's made a huge difference on that team. When you watch him in tight games, it's like they believe they can win now when they didn't before. So Chris Paul is actually my MVP right now. In terms of the Eastern Conference Finals, I also have the Heat and the Bulls. Western Conference Finals, I think the Mavericks will make it against OKC, but OKC will beat them. I think all the veterans for the Mavericks will step up, but they're still going to lose to OKC. And then I have the Heat and OKC in the finals with the Heat becoming NBA champions to, my chagrin. But the Heat will be the champs.
Yeah. But the six-man thing, I like James Harden and his impact, but I don't think his impact is bigger than Lou's, yo. I mean, Lou is the leading scorer of the Sixers, and Lou is the go-to man of the Sixers. I mean, it's not James Harden's fault he plays with Kevin Durant and Westbrook.
No, I totally
even
get
at
that,
the end of the game, they're going to Lou as if, you know.
Yeah, it's too bad Lou don't come through, but I mean, like,
a lot of times he does. I mean, lately it's been a little shaky, but let's not go out on him.
I think James Harden hit some big shots, though. When I watch James Harden play, and James Harden has also made some big shots in games too. Like James Harden, I don't even know how he should be a star. James Harden has got game, man. Like,
yeah, I mean, but it's no doubt. My difference in that is that, you know, James Harden can make big shots because the pressure isn't on him. Everybody knows at this point who the Sixers' go-to man is down the stretch. And that's kind of why I said it. Go ahead, Austin. Say yours.
I really did put some thought into it. And I looked at, you know, not only that, their numbers, but James Harden's averaging like 17.
It's real funny that we're here talking about James Harden, a.k.a. the Black Manu, because, I love his game. Like, his game is nice. Pause. MVP, I've got Kevin Durant. I've got Kevin Durant, runner-up Kobe Bryant. My Rookie of the Year, this was tough. I looked at Brandon Knight, Ricky Rubio, and Kyrie Irving. Came out with Kyrie Irving.
Brandon Knight?
Yeah, he's balling.
Brandon Knight, dude.
Balling where?
Oh, he's balling.
Where did you see a Detroit game, first of all? I'm like, first of all, where did you see a Detroit game?
My coach of the year, or my midseason pick, is Greg Popp through follow Doug Collins' runner-up. Most improved, Jeremy Lin, like everybody else. Six-man, this is tough. I got to go with Lou as well. I got to go with Lou because it's almost like he's a starter. Not that James Harden isn't, but like he's – Lou Williams could have made an argument for the All-Star game coming off the bench. Defensive player of the year is three heads. Executive of the year, I really didn't think about it. I would have said David Stern too. Yeah, David Stern. We'll go with David. He's making it. He's making every move. It's his personal chessboard.
All right, and who you got winning the championship?
OKC.
Over.
The Heat.
All right.
Yo, how did I know he wasn't going to pick the Heat regardless? He was going to find a way not to pick the Heat.
Brandon Knight at the point guard position. Averaging 12-3. Yeah, 12-3. Detroit stinks. He ain't balling.
Yeah. By the way, like, I don't want anybody thinking I'm pooping on Lou Williams, but like James Harden, I did some research. Like, he's like, the team is like a +18 with him on the floor. Like, his impact is crazy.
Did some research.
Like,
what, you want the website? No.
Let's get them
All star Austin, my research game is major, man. I'm a scientist. Anyway. Let's move on to NBA All-Star Weekend. And this is brought to you by Stitcher Smart Radio. You can hear our show, The War Room, on Stitcher Smart Radio. Stitcher allows you to listen to your favorite shows directly from your computer, your iPhone, Android phone, BlackBerry, or Palm phone. But if you do have a BlackBerry or Palm phone, go to the nearest roof and jump off. The latest episode is always available for you. No syncing needed and no memory or storage wasted. Downloading is easy. Click on the Stitcher logo on your website and listen or download to your mobile phone directly from that page. Stitcher Smart Radio, the smarter way to listen to radio. Now, let's go into All-Star Weekend. I was going to ask you guys, is Orlando a good place for All-Star Weekend? But we could skip that question because
I mean, I think it is. Their whole city is about hospitality. They got hotels out the wazoo.
Yeah, more or less. So, you know, unless you
need a rental car.
You got to take it. That'd be different. At any rate,
Pac-Man be there shooting people.
The BBVA Rising Stars Challenge. What's going on?
I got all these
there?
Rosters, too. I got the rosters. You know, it's Team Shaq against Team Chuck. Shaq's team is Blake Griffin, Jeremy Lin, Ricky Rubio, Markieff Morris, Kemba Walker, Landry Fields, Norris Cole, Brandon Knight, Tristan Thompson, Greg Monroe. Team Chuck, Kyrie Irving, DeMarcus Cousins, Derek Williams, Paul George, Marshawn Brooks, John Wall, Tiago Splitter, who's hurt, Evan Turner, Gordon Hayward, Kawhi Leonard, and Derek Favors, who's replacing Tiago Splitter. I think Team Shaq will win. I don't think Blake Griffin will get the MVP, though, because he's probably got to rest up for the big game. So I got Ricky Rubio being the MVP.
He's
going to get like 14 dimes.
Because you know what? It's an all-star game. Therefore, he's going to be doing all kinds of craziness with the Rock.
Yeah, he's going to get his
pistol. I also have him as the MVP of that game. Austin, who would you have as the MVP of that game?
Brandon Knight.
He might go out there and try to prove himself when he get against all those other good rookies.
Yeah, Brandon.
He
Knight
can play.
Like,
I'm not denying that he can play, but he's not balling. Like, I don't know where you got.
He looks like Sam Cassell's son. Yo, anyway, Dev, who is the higher shooting stars? Who are the participants in that?
All right, Team Orlando is Jameer Nelson, Marie Ferdinand Harris, Dennis Scott. Team Atlanta, who's the defending champs, Joe Johnson, Lindsey Harden, Steve Smith. But Joe Johnson, you know, he's out of the three-point contest now and out of the All-Star game, so I'm not sure if he's going to be replaced on this. So look for him to be replaced. Team New York, Landry Fields. Huh?
Look out for Josh Smith.
He probably will be the replacement. Landry Fields, Cappy Poindexter, and Allen Houston for Team New York. Team Texas is Chandler Parsons, Sophia Young, and Kenny Smith. This is a shooting contest, so I'm going to go ahead and take Team Texas with Chandler Parsons, Sophia Young, and Kenny Smith. I got Texas to win. I think Kenny and the boys won it before, but not last year. Atlanta won last year.
I think it's Texas, and I'm going to Orlando.
When it comes to Orlando, shooting, I don't go against H2O, man. Dude, yeah, water.
He's another overrated dude. But so you got Team New York. I got Texas, and Jimmy got Orlando. All right, what's next, Jim? What roster you need?
The Taco Bell Skills Challenge.
Taco Bell, who eat there? Why are they still sponsoring?
Yo, kills your stomach, yo. Unless they cut a check, then I'll talk everything great about it.
Now, the defending champ, they just announced today that Steph Curry, with an injury, is going to skip All-Star Weekend. So I don't know if he's going to be replaced or they're just going to rock with the five that they have left. But who they have left, before they make an announcement at least, is Kyrie Irving, Tony Parker, John Wall, Russell Westbrook, and Deron Williams. I'm going to go with the youngster, man. I'm going to go with Kyrie Irving. Never mind, I take that back. I'm going to go with Russell Westbrook.
Bills?
Yeah, I'm going to go with Russell Westbrook.
I'm gonna go with Tony Parker, because, yo, fastest man alive.
Exactly.
I'm going with Durant.
All right. Okay, if we wrap all of these up, because there's another call on, maybe we can get to that before we wrap up. All right,
no doubt. Let's hurry up. Let's do the 3-point. Who's in the 3-point contest?
Defending champion James Jones from the Heat, Kevin Love, Ryan Anderson, Anthony Morrow, Mario Chalmers, and Kevin Durant is taking the place of Joe Johnson. So the contest just got real interesting because, you know, James Jones is defending champion. Chalmers, I don't care about him. But Love is going to make a good showing, but I got to be in between Jones, Ryan Anderson, Durant, and Anthony Morrow. Anthony Morrow can stroke it, but I don't know if his form, like, I think he takes too long for, like, a 3-point contest. So I'm going to go with Ryan Anderson to win the 3-point contest.
Yo, I want to pick Kevin Love so bad, Paul. I definitely want him to win this. But I think KD is going to come through and win this and add to his resume.
Yeah,
Moses.
I was thinking about that. He might. He might.
He's going to add to his resume. He's going to try to get the 3-point chip, the MVP, and a chip this year. I'm going with Durant to win it. Although
then he's
going to
get in the dunk contest next year. Norris Cole with the strip of lint. Oh!
All right, Austin, who you got?
I'm going Anthony Morrow.
Morrow. All right, let's move on because we got to call him to this call. But let's go to the slam dunk contest.
We got Chase Budinger from Houston, Paul George, Indiana, Jeremy Evans from Utah, who is the replacement for who did he replace? Oh, Shumpert. He replaced Shumpert. And Derek Williams from Minnesota. Shumpert said that he was going to bring out a couch and have Jeremy Lin like acting like he's sleeping on it and jump over the couch. But, you know, he's no longer in the contest. So, Budinger, George, Evans, and Williams. I have no idea what Jeremy Evans can do. So,
yo, watch it end up being an exciting contest because there's no big names in it.
Yo,
I mean, my man Chase Budinger looks just like Michael Rappaport. But, I'm going with Chase Budinger. This because he's a beast on 2K12. I'm taking Chase Budinger, yo.
Go ahead.
I was going to ask if Jeremy Evans is related to Florida or not.
He might be. Now, just because I'm not going to pick him, he's probably going to win the contest, but I'm going to go with Paul George from Indiana. Derek Williams is a very good dunker. I don't see him being that great of a contest dunker, though. Even though he's not, like, a power forward, he just looked like a heavy dude. Like, if he tried to do something tricky, it just might not fly. But we'll see. I mean, I've seen him do some things in the game that was very impressive. But I'm going to go with Paul George from Indiana.
All right, last thing.
Paul George is a 6'9", two-guard who can jump in the air and touch his hands on the ground while 11 feet high.
That's how I feel.
I don't trust him because he got two first names. But, yo, the 61st NBA All-Star game, who you guys think is going to win the MVP of this game? You know all the participants who made the All-Star game. Who's going to win
Kevin
the MVP?
Kevin Durant. MVP. Mark it down.
That was actually my pick as well. I told you Kevin Durant is trying to build his resume this year, man.
Is, Kobe already got the record for MVPs.
I don't know. Our caller hung up. We've taken too long, but I'm not sure what the record is. But
he's got five. I'm going Kobe.
You going Kobe?
Yeah.
Do you think you're gonna go gunning everybody out? Trying to get.
I'm definitely on Durant. I think Durant is in the mission this year, and he's gonna, he's gonna try to win MVP of this game, 3-point contest. He's on his thing, man. You know.
No,
plus
I'm
you
a
have
team,
to remember. You have to remember also that Durant's playing with his own point guard in this game. So, they can just gun Kobe out.
Well, so is Kobe because he don't have a point guard in a regular season. So he's
playing with himself. Like, pause that. But, Amari just banged on Bud.
And to answer your question, Kobe is actually tied for the most All-Star MVPs with one Bob Pettit.
No, that's cool. He's ahead of his pop, so he don't care now.
Yeah, but it's just the All-Star game. It's, it's nothing.
He had something to prove last year. They was talking too much. But this year, they know about the German doctor, so I don't got him doing
yeah.
Much.
I mean, but back to Jimmy's original question about the city. Like I said, I think Orlando is a great place to have an All-Star game. You know, first of all, they have the new arena, which they wouldn't have the All-Star game if they didn't have the new arena. But, it's a hospitality town, so you'll never be starved for rooms. You may need a rental car depending on, where people can get certain rooms. So the traffic, the parking situation, that might be the only problem, and throughout the whole weekend. But, I can't think of too many better places to actually hold it. And if
Vegas.
You're bored with the level of basketball, then...
Vegas.
Yeah. They held it there a few years ago, but
Pac-Man when you're in Vegas, you can get some working girls to come take care of you.
Well, Pac-Man Jones showed up in Vegas, so that caused a problem. he came there in the club, making it rain.
I definitely think Orlando is a good place to have it. Hopefully, it's going to be a good weekend. There won't be no incidents for us to report and on the grind next week. Keep all the nonsense out of there, and hopefully, Ray J and Fab will run into each other.
So he ain't got to get his dudes that like dudes to, do something to dudes.
No doubt. But I definitely think that it's Kevin Durant's weekend. He's going to do what he got to do. 3-point contest, MVP. I think Kevin Durant is on a mission. Think about it. He's already in mid-season form because he never stopped playing basketball.
Well, Common going to win the MVP of the celebrity game tomorrow. Mark that down. I'm sorry.
I don't know. Is Bieber
McKnight.
In the game?
Scott McKnight.
Is Bieber in the game? Bieber might cross him, man. I don't know if Bieber's in the game or not, man.
The only thing about some of these things is, they let fans vote. So,
how
good you play, if you're
that's
more popular than everybody else.
That's
there's not going to be judges in the dunk contest. It's going to be all fans in the dunk contest. The fans are going to be the judge. They're going to take the Twitter. So the dunk contest, I might take my pick back and just go with the most popular dude, but there is no popular dude.
Yeah, you
I
know why
Derek
that's cool
Williams,
this year? There's
I
no,
guess Derek Williams
there's
might
no
be
popular.
The most popular dude.
There's no stars in the dunk contest, so the fans can't get it messed up.
Yeah, but Derek Williams was the number two pick in the draft, so if there is a popular dude, it's probably him. Jeremy Evans is not going to get any votes. He could have, every dunk could be a 50.
We could have figured out which player had the most Twitter followers, but it's too late for that. But, we could never figure it out. But I'm going my man Remy from Higher. Learn.
Nah. All right, well, it's time for us to get
out of here.
Shout out to Harry Cowles. Anyway, thanks for joining us in the War Room this evening. We appreciate your continued support. Special thanks to everyone who participated in the chat room, Facebook, Twitter, and or by calling in. Tune in next week, same time, same place, to the Dream Team of Sports. But for now, enjoy tonight's big NBA matchups, the Heat and Knicks. Let's see what Jeremy Lin got. And also enjoy All-Star Weekend and the rest of your Black History Month. And we will talk to you next week. Catch us online all over the place. Easy.
Yeah.
straight thugs on this side. Let's do or die to the death, like the terminal ill, taking their last breath. Read your last right. God forgive me for the sin I'm about to commit. Taking a life, kill or be killed. Rather that than somebody else feeding my will. You feel what I feel, you know the deal. Keep the infrared next to my bed, one in the head, hearing noises. Dead tired eyes, bloodshot red. Sleep with half closed eyelids. Some say it's strange, sometimes it's how strange life get. Go easy on the bottle, niggas love to see when niggas slipping off point on the strength they bet. Scoping your eyes, appraising it like the Diamond District jeweler with a hand on the biscuit. Do ya when it get caught lifted or sober so you could react quick? Blow you off the atlas as if I caught you fucking my wife or my $1,000 mattress. It's the world that I live in. QB made me. A mom that love me and the pops that raised me.
Y'all need to give it up. We don't give a fuck what y'all niggas want, cause life is mine. Y'all need to get it up. We don't give a fuck what y'all niggas want, cause
I got the style of a stillborn Tyler Mill. If it's beef, poking with the fork, make sure he's done well. The streets raised me crazy, now I'm immune to it. So when they start shooting, we don't stop the music, keep it moving, that's how we do it. Been through more drama than the ball wins, you still crawling. Apply street rules to the office, high performance, rap author. Make millions off of melodic, hypnotic productions that'll fuck with your conscience and touch your emotions. You feel me? I write a graphic page, escort niggas to their grave. Relate to the projects, we the black mob. It gets deeper than rap music. It's more real than any words I can muster. Pull the black Cadillac trucks up. How about some shits like what? Y'all niggas can't touch us.
Y'all need to give it up. We don't give a fuck what y'all niggas want, cause life is mine. Y'all need to give it up, cause we don't give a fuck what y'all niggas want, cause
silk shirts on my chest show what a flirt. Holly Berry blew a kiss at the Barbra Streisand concert. Silk pants color pink, Gator's mask, gangsta musical thing. And I front like my doodle don't stink. Instinct like Cuba Gooden stepping out the latest toy. Have the lights blinking, Gators hit the floor. Everybody watching red carpet inches, cameras flashing. Just to think that was yesterday's action, cause the day goes either way. We came a long way from hallway steps and hand-me-down shit. Fuck my foes, I've seen the other side. Next tell, sell, roam. Call a chopper phone, heliport at my home. Quincy Jones posters, wake up, guns under my pillow. I can't talk around chauffeurs, shit is better than a novel. Autobiographic, spit it on tracks, it becomes classic. Start some, make my heart pump, spark when I'm God, Sanaa, Sadamas. Last when the blast, when the knocks come. Know how to leave anything in 30 seconds when you feel the heat. Coming and flee with the murder weapon, I release one. Shot you deceased, learn your lesson. The flesh turn to maggots, bastard. You passed it, cremate your flesh to ashes. You don't need a suit, no wake, no funeral, and no casket.
Y'all need to give it up. We don't give a fuck what y'all niggas want, cause life is mine. Y'all need to give it up, cause we don't give a fuck what y'all niggas want, cause life is mine. Cause life is mine. Cause life is mine. Cause life is mine.
Ill will.
Need to give it up. We don't give a fuck what y'all niggas want. We don't give a fuck. Cause life is mine. Y'all need.